welcoming to us here this night or this evening. And Michael and I, we always come here with a little bit of a sour taste in our mouth. And obviously last time we were here, we were able to win on the road, but,
as players,
it's a great rivalry here between these two football teams and, you know, there's no love lost.
No. We knew coming here or them coming to us, it was always, we always knew it was going to be hard-nosed football and it was going to be till the final whistle.
Yeah. And, we're going to go ahead and take one more 30-second break from our sponsors here before the second half kickoff. Welcome back here to Coos Bay, Oregon. Both teams gearing up to take the field for the second half kickoff. It's going to be the Pirates back to return whenever they take the field. Both teams kind of stretching around, getting loose. Refs are getting together there at the 50-yard line and getting ready to kick this thing off. And any last kind of adjustments that you'd make there, Michael?
No, I think if I tried to explain anything, I'd sound like a broken record. I think it's just a matter of endurance at this point. Whoever's going to keep playing and keep playing hard.
Yep.
You
know, and we're talking about it like it's a close game. You know, obviously, Soyuzo's got a lot harder and to be a lot more successful here in the second half. But talk about it like it's a close game because you can never count out this Sam Johnson-led football team here. 25-8. Obviously, they go ahead and put an extra minute on the clock, so you're kind of stuck with us here for a little bit longer, but never count out this team. It was just a few years ago that I was, as a fan, and there to support my little brother Colin Barnett at the Junction City game a few years back, and I hit the road at halftime because I had somewhere else to be, and baseball was down 3 or 4 scores, and I get a text about an hour and a half later that Tyson went on to win it.
Yeah.
And, you know, never can count out this team. This Johnson family's got so many years coaching, not just collectively, but independently, and they're kind of all bringing it together now and have been for a little bit. And this is a good senior class that they have to rely on here.
Yeah.
But going to be pretty vital to get out and just kind of work as a well-oiled machine here as the Vikings go ahead and break the huddle and take the field here. To kick off the second half as Will Johnson has the ball. He's the kicker on kickoffs. I believe he's the PAT kicker as well. Haven't seen a PAT yet, obviously, as Saveslaw has the one score on the night where Will Johnson also scored the PAT, but it was a two-point conversion. Gray ran it in for the score on that one. So both them are accountable for the Vikings points tonight, and obviously that's a team effort, but in the record books, those go towards them. So they break the huddle. Johnson steps it off right here, and he's walking back, geared up, back deep to return.
Looks like we got Skip Lackator, or excuse me,
what?
Luke Frey.
Huh?
I was looking at the wrong lineup.
Yeah,
I was like, Lackator, I know that name.
Luke Frey, back deep to return, catches it on the fly. He's going to got it. He's going up the middle. And he is brought down on the tackle. That's going to be Jacob Mann again, once again, breaking down in the open field. And, you know, we talk about him as a big man. We talked about his speed a little bit earlier on in the game, but he's one of the first people down the field to make that tackle.
Yeah.
Limit Frey, the speedster, to a short return where Marshfield's going to be taking over on their own 30-yard line. Niblett's going to be working out of a gun once again.
They got to contain the flat here.
Most definitely. It's going to be important to keep Hayden Whittycomb and Lane Olson's names kind of, you know, limited here in the second half. But Niblett's going to be working out of the gun. He's got one receiver out to his right. He's also got Caleb Fox to his right, the running back in the backfield. Two receivers split out left. O-lineman stands up, kind of communicating to the rest of the line. Niblett, go ahead. Calls for the motion left to right, turns, fits the pitch, hands it up the middle to Fox. He's stuck up the middle by the linebacker. That's going to be
That was Jericho Lake.
Jericho Lake, the sophomore. And Jericho Lake's the name that Saislaw Sports they're going to start hearing a lot more and more. He plays both sides of the ball, and he's a sub quarterback as well.
This tall middle linebacker.
Most definitely. Go see him at Dairy Queen. I know he works there. I don't know if he works there anymore. Got Niblett out of the gun. Fox to his right again. Calls for motion left to right. goes, hands it off this time up the middle. That's going to be number 80, the receiver, and he's going to get a good chunk play of about 8 yards there with Chandler Wyatt.
It's a great save by Michael Blankenship. It was only him standing between him and the end zone there.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, he made so many of those saving tackles and obviously had the one mistake earlier, but it's good to see him bounce back from it as a senior who's gotten so many repetitions both offensively and defensively. You know, Coach Blum used to say, flush it.
Flush it.
And that's what Blankenship's been able to do so far.
Yeah.
Nibble it out of the gun. Two receivers out to the left, two receivers out to the right, out wide. Got Fox to his left in the backfield again. Calls for the snap. Goes to hand it up the gut. That's Fox again, and Fox is going to get about 8 yards up the middle. Kind of bounces outside towards the end there, and again, just Marshall team is just playing, you know, they're chippy in the trenches, and they've got some athletes that can make you pay for missing tackles.
Yeah, Jackson Chang on the tackle there, number 25. I haven't heard his name yet, but that was a good tackle.
Yeah, he's been out there in a couple. He's a senior this year, had a limited role last year, had an injury as well that he's been nursing, but it's good to see him back fully healthy here. And in the backfield now is going to be Jaden Tice for these Pirates, Niblett in the gun. Got bunched out to the right. One receiver split out deep to the wide left. He's going to hand it up the middle of Tice. Met up the gut, and that's going to be Jericho Lake again, stuffing him at the line of scrimmage, and he is going absolutely nowhere. Tackled by a horde of Vikings, and a very good spark play on that defense there by the sophomore in Jericho Lake.
Yeah, you saw the middle linebackers up on the line like they were going to blitz, and they dropped back right away. Thought maybe they'd pass, maybe, but they responded very well to that,
yep,
that option up the gut.
And it's easy to hang your head down 25-8, but the team just rallied around Lake after that tackle and celebrated him in his success there, which is always good to see when you're down and trailing.
Third and short here.
And Niblett looks to the sidelines there, gets the call from offensive coordinator Blake Stentman there. Receiver split out a little bit further on the right side, two out to the right, two out to the left. He's got Tice in the backfield as well. Tice standing straight up, gets the handoff up the middle, and he's going to be met again early. And he has stuffed for absolutely no yards there. Just gets the line of scrimmage, and I changed that. The ref just changed his angle walking up to the line of scrimmage. So just enough to pick up the first down, sadly. It looked like he didn't get anywhere, and the ref kind of walked in at a slow angle and took one shuffle to his right at the last second and gave him an extra about a yard there.
Yeah, it was close. Number 54, Joe Petrillo, he grabbed his legs in the backfield and he just kind of dove forward and just had enough.
I think you're looking. We have Niblett looking to the sidelines for the call once again. Trips out to the left, one receiver to the right. Running back in the backfield is Fox. He fakes the hands off to him, takes it off to the left himself, and gets about a yard. This Saison defense is looking stout after the chunk play there on second down of the last set of downs, but only allowed about 3 yards in the last three carries, and sadly one of those was good enough for a first down. But second and nine here on the Vikings' 47-yard line. Got a pretty good view of the pole here in front of us. Limited view, but 7 minutes and 58 seconds ticking down here in the third quarter. Marshfield ahead, 25-8 over the Saison Vikings in their season opener on the road down here in Coos Bay. Niblett out of the gun. He's got Fox to his right, three receivers out left. He goes to throw right. He's got a receiver and hits him in stride as he's hit by Will Johnson, but a good job by Devin Peterson there to come up with that kind of a short, stocky receiver and make the Vikings pay there as they get a good, nice little chunk slant there. And it kind of surprised to see them air it out there, to be honest with you. I know, obviously, the run was slowing down, but it's been working through for them all throughout the night and kind of caught safe while sleeping a little bit there.
Yeah, those quick slant routes are pretty hard when you're not expecting them.
Yeah, especially when you got about 6-7 yards of cushion as a defensive back there. Those one-step little slants are hard to get up on and cover easily. Niblett out of the backfield. Looks, throws right. That's going to be number 5 on the sideline. Makes the man miss with a spin move. Turns his knees for extra yardage. Picks up about 4 yards after contact there. And that's going to be Lane Olson who's made Faisal pay on multiple occasions tonight. And one of the Vikings DBs had an open tackle there, and like, we've got a hurt Marshfield Pirate here, central cramp.
That is a cramp if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, and we're going to go ahead as Faisal comes off the field and go ahead and take 30 seconds here and let him stretch that thing out. And a liftoff indeed. We have Cameron Utz in the booth back in the studio tonight running the board, soundboard. We're appreciative of him. And Niblett is going to be in the backfield. And he cocks it up, and that's going to be going right to the Faisal defense as Faisal recovers a fumble. I don't know who returned that or recovered that, but it almost looked
that's
like
number 25.
That's going to be Jackson Chang, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Jackson Chang, we just mentioned him, his name a second ago, but Niblett got the ball and just kind of threw the ball up. Almost didn't look like he had a hand on it good enough, and
yeah,
went right into Jackson Chang's arm.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good blitz by him.
Oh, man.
Put him right in the right place at the right time. You love to see it.
Couldn't have been in a better spot as the ball just kind of almost looked like it was a talk to him. It landed right in his arms, but Faisal takes over on their own 29-yard line. Quick to get on offense. Blankenship looks, turns, hands it. That's going to be Johnson up the gut. He's going to 50, the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10. Touchdown, Viking! Will Johnson with the 70-yard touchdown up the gut, and Saislaw scores quickly here after the turnover with the fumble recovery by Jackson Chang. 25-14, Vikings score here in the third quarter.
You see how quick they got them on the line there. That was completely intentional. That opens up opportunities for big plays like this. You can't let the defense get set. That was beautifully executed.
Wow, what a play there by... I mean, it's the same play that Marshfield's seen probably 20 times tonight, and that's why you just stick with what you do so well if you're this Vikings team.
The linebackers were just standing on their heels there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's easy to do that and get a little complacent when you're up 25-8, and Faisal makes them pay there with Will Johnson's speed up the gut. They're going to be going for the two-point conversion here, Blankenship under center. Got two backs in the backfield. One of those is Jackson Chang. The other one's Dylan Gray. Looks, hands it up the gut. And that's going to be stuffed right there at the line of scrimmage. Just interior D-line kind of got collapsed on right there. And Chang with the carry, but not going to get the two-point conversion. At the end of the day, though, the Vikings get six out of this drive quickly. 25-14 with 6 minutes and 21 seconds left here in the third quarter. We're going to go ahead and take a break here on Coast Radio Sports. And Will Johnson, kind of a pooch kick up the middle. Welcome back to Coos Bay. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, number 19.
Oh, Faisal had a sure recovery there, and the ball takes a weird bounce right into the chest of one of the Vikings players there. And
that was just, Tom Morgan. He got up the field quick. I remember that play. I'm sure you do,
yeah,
too, with Kenneth
pooch
Rawl.
Kick. Yep, just
the
pooch kick there and worked to perfection and almost too perfectly. I don't think Morgan was expecting it to bounce right back into his chest and kind of roll off the shoulder pad. And I mean, it was right along the sidelines. If not, he recovers it. But sadly, the ball just trickles out of bounds and rolls dead there.
Even though we didn't get it, that energy of being that close could really light a fire under us on defense.
Oh, yeah. That alone with the 71-yard touchdown out of the Vikings offense with Will Johnson on that last drive after the Jackson Chang fumble recovery. And
we're getting a call here.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Looks like Micah Blankenship has his arms up in the air.
I don't know if it's going to be another personal foul.
You hate to see it.
Yes, we'll see. We were told the refs were going to have a headset and mic be able to speak to the crowd, but no sign out of the refs. They just marked 5 yards out of it, and it was touched before it went out of bounds. So either way, the Pirates take over here on their own 34-yard line, and really good outing of that Faisal defense on that last drive, and just trying to build off of that, obviously, here. And again, the refs kind of stepping up the white hat.
I'm moving it to the other hash.
Moving it? What in the?
I couldn't tell you why.
Well, that's why they're wearing white hats, and I'm up here with no hat on, balding. So, either way, ball on the 34-yard line here of the Marshfield Pirates. They got Niblett out of the gun, trips out to his right. We have Tice in the backfield. stands vertically. He doesn't bend over as a running back, which Ashton Gentry out of Boise State made pretty popular last year. Tice, however, does not look like Ashton Gentry. Just a little bit different.
And Coach Sam Johnson had some questions here.
Yeah, I have questions as well, but either way, the rest are going to be sticking to their guns here, and game's kind of getting slowed here. He wants some answers, rightfully so.
Three receivers to the right.
Yep, trips out to the right. One receiver out to the left as the referees get things going here. Nibble it out of the gun with Tice to his right. Looks, he's going to be rolling right, looking to throw. He's going to pump fake. He's got a receiver, and he throws it behind him. That is Lane Olsen, and just a hair behind him, hit him in the back shoulder pad and wasn't able to get his hands on it. But after that play, you love to see it. Just baseball football to its core is Jericho Lake picking him up after that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, they've been rolling out of that gun so many times and able to find Lane Olsen, but it's going to be 2nd and 10 here for this Marshfield team. 6 minutes and 15 seconds left here in the third quarter. Score 25 for the Pirates and 14 for the Vikings. Niblett's going to be out of the gun here. Bunch formation, 3 receivers out to his right, 5 down linemen. One running back in the backfield in Tice, and 1 receiver out to the left. It's going to be speed option to the right. Almost pitches the pitch as he pitches it to Tice. He's going to get the lane and get to the edge, but he is upended by both number 52 for the Vikings, who is going to be Noah Gonzalez, the senior, as well as Will Johnson. But that's going to be enough for a first down here, and the ball is going to be spotted at the 45-yard line in Marshfield territory. Clock's going to be ticking, 6 minutes on the clock. Niblett looking to the sideline to get the call from his offensive coordinator. Going to be bunch formation to the right.
That's the first speed option we've seen.
Yes, it is. Luke Frey, Lane Olsen, and Devin Peterson in that bunch formation. They've been the three in that formation all night. And we have 1 receiver out left in Chandler Wyatt. Fox is back in the game. Caleb Fox back in the game in the backfield. He's going to go up to the right, throw to the right behind the receiver, just snared and absolutely stuck and rolled over. That's going to be number 8 on the tackle in Caleb Gray. What a hit stick. And that's going to be a gain of 1 there.
Yeah, that's a beautiful tackle.
And 3rd and 9 should be. The stick stays 2nd down, but we had the incompletion. Or am I incorrect there?
No, we're 2nd down here. They converted last time.
Oh, my goodness. Bob Sneddon, if you're listening. You did a tremendous job for 23 years, and I don't know. I mean, I know you're recognized, but doing it myself, you better be recognized more than you were. This is quite the task here.
You're doing great.
Oh, thanks.
You're doing great. I'll be here. I'll be here.
Well, shucks. Niblett in the backfield, waves as Luke Frey motions to the left. Devin Peterson collapses in on the right. We got a timeout, the first from the Pirates here in the second half, their 1st of 3. We're going to go ahead and take a minute break here on Coast Radio Sports.
The River House Inn and Super 8 Motel provide clean, cozy, comfortable rooms. Located near Florence's favorite attractions, they offer the best lodging in Florence to explore Old Town and enjoy the great dining, perfect for your out-of-town guests or your own special staycation. The River House Inn is right on the riverfront in Old Town, where you can book a Riverview spa room for your next romantic getaway. The River House Inn and the Super 8 Motel, proud sponsors of Siuslaw High School Sports.
Supporting businesses like Grocery Outlet Florence and Chad E. Clement, DDS, help us bring you every exciting minute on Coast Radio.
Both teams take the field here in Coos Bay, Oregon, with the Marshfield Pirates leading the Siuslaw Vikings 25-14 with 4 minutes and 30 seconds left on the clock. And
that last play, the little bubble out to the right to the tight side of the field, the Siuslaw did a great job swallowing that up.
Yeah, most definitely. And Tom Morgan's had his work cut out for him on the wide side of the field. He hasn't gotten much action over there, but he's stayed locked in. It's important to do so. And Niblett's going to be out of the gun. Looks, pitches it out to the left side. That's going to be number 5, Lane Olsen. He's got tackles that are being missed left and right out of this Vikings defense in the backfield, and he's going to go ahead and pick up about 4 yards.
I got to give it to number 25, Jackson Chain, again there. You know, he slowed him up enough to get some more Vikings on him.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're not able to make that tackle, sometimes they say if you get a hand on someone, you got to bring him down. Not always the case. It's easier said than done, but like you said, good job by Chang there to slow him down enough to allow some people to come over and help and only allow him a four-yard gain there.
Yeah.
And again, we got this pole right in our way here. Niblet.
Third and six here.
Niblet out of the gun. Third and six. 3 minutes and 45 seconds left. Three receivers out to his right, one to his left. He's got Fox in the background, takes the handoff to him, throws it up in the air. That's almost intercepted. And that is Tom Morgan in coverage, really tight coverage there. Ball a little overthrown, and that's going to bring up fourth down on the 50-yard line here for the Pirates. Decision time, and it looks like the punt team is going to go ahead and take the field for the first time for this Pirates offense.
Yeah, target was number 80, Chandler Wyatt from Marshfield. And like you said, it was just thrown a little bit high, even though that does look like a pretty tall kid.
Yeah, and he's 6'4" on that roster, and, you know, whether kids, you know, had an inch or two to that, you know, to each their own. I think I was like 5'9", never touched 5'9", even in a pair of high heels a day in my life. But
like I say, I'm 6'3" in my work boots. So.
And we've got, who is that? Will Johnson back deep to return. It's going to be a short, high punt. He comes up on it, and he doesn't call for a fair catch, and he is met instantly as he catches that. Lucky to hold on.
That's
the
great.
Sure hands of Will Johnson. You know, he's such an athlete in his head. He always wants to make a play, and we've seen in past years him kind of muff that a little bit and then cough it up, but decides not to fair catch it. No damage done there. Sisal offense takes the field here and looking to try to build, obviously, on that 71-yard touchdown on that last possession.
Yeah, touchdown here. We're right back in it.
Most definitely. And ball's going to be on the 19-yard line. 3 minutes and 32 seconds left here in the third quarter. Sisal down 25-14 to these Pirates. Blankenship's going to be under center. He's got one tight end standing up to his right, one to his left. And Jericho Lake is going to hand it up the gut again. Will Johnson breaks it in inside, and he's going to get about 7 yards on that as Jericho Lake's a little slow to get up. Maybe got rolled up on a little bit on that block, but he's up shaking it off. He is A-OK to continue, he says. And it's going to be second and two, 3 minutes and 10 seconds left in this third quarter. Blankenship under center. He's got Franzoni standing up as a tight end on his right. Jericho Lake to his left. Two backs in the backfield. Looks to hand it up the gut. He's got Caleb Gray up the gut. That's going to be about an 8-9 yard carry for Gray. And just a good chunk there. Dylan Gray. Well, I told Sam 8-9 for Twins is that's tough.
Right back on the ball.
Yes, they are. He's going to hand it up the gut. No, he keeps it. Goes up and cuts up field is Blankenship, and that's going to be a nice pickup of four there. He hasn't kept the ball a whole lot as much as we're used to tonight, but Marshall's done a pretty decent job of bottling him up for about a 4 yard run each time. Which you're an offensive coordinator, you take.
That's right. Yeah. A game of 4 yards.
Correction. Somehow they give him 1 yard.
Oh, that looks like more than that to me.
Most definitely. Either way, again.
I got this offensive line is doing a good job on this drive. They have a airport runway, as they will say, for these running backs and the quarterback to run through.
Yeah, most definitely. Front five have been stout all night. Blankenship under center, two backs in the backfield, and that ball's fumbled. That snap never touched his hands. And that's going to be Marshfield football. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Blankenship went to take the snap, and you could tell that ball never even hit his hands. He looked and turned around, thought it may have gone between his legs. No ball there. It was just under the center the whole time. And miscommunication there between the quarterback and center week one, not too uncommon, but a pretty timely, costly mistake there for the Vikings. That's their fifth total turnover, two of those on downs, three of those tossing it up on the ground as fumbles. And the Pirates are going to go ahead and take over on the Sisal 39 now. We've seen them go out and score in a hurry after two of those fumbles, so limiting the damage here and stopping them from scoring, obviously, is the goal for this defense here. Niblet's going to be working out of the gun. He's got Tice out to his left, two receivers to the right, two out to their left. and he's going to send one in motion. He's going to give it to Tyson in the backfield. He makes two defenders miss, and he's met at the line of scrimmage. Gets about back to the line of scrimmage. It's going to be second and 10, and good job there by the Vikings disrupting things in the backfield, not allowing him to kind of get his eyes set and, you know, work his vision to pick a hole and shoot it. They just met him right there.
Yeah.
And
I think right here, I hate to call it, but I they got to watch the outside. They keep doing this, you know, first down, they try and go up the gut, and then they swing outside. They got to contain the flat here.
Yes, indeed. They got tripped out to the left this time, typically out to the right tonight. But out to the left, he's got a running back to his left as well. He's going to roll to his left. There goes Niblett, looking, rolling, scrambling backwards, throws it. He's got a couple receivers and kind of just throws it out of bounds. Couple times passing interference may have been called tonight, but I think on all those it's just an uncatchable ball, and
I think he wanted to get rid of that. That was going to be a big loss.
Yep, most definitely. But we have a looks to be a Vikings defensive lineman down on the field, another cramp, which not ideal, but
I think that's Jericho Lake, number 15. He was the one that was up in the quarterback's face.
Very well could be, you know, this late in the game. Especially on the defensive side, Saisla has been out running left for 15 yards, running right for 15 yards, and you get pretty worn down pretty quickly, especially if you're playing both sides of the football. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick 30-second break and be back after that. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium as Jericho Lake kind of gingerly walks off the sideline. And, you know, I don't know if he's ever had a cramp before, but, boy, those are not fun.
Not a good place to be.
No. And, you know, my first came whenever I was in the Marine Corps and I was swimming a MRF, what it's called, in a 16-foot pool, and I got mine in the deep end all alone. It was not a fun experience.
Not a good place for you to be.
I was able to stay away from them throughout high school sports and stay hydrated enough, but hard to do that in a pool. And nibble it in the backfield, and they're going to call no flags on the ground. They just went ahead and blew it dead. Potential timeout. Oh.
It looks that way. I don't know if Coach was on the field. No, timeout, Saisla.
Yeah, timeout, Saisla. Maybe just giving Jericho Lake an extra second to kind of get loose here. He's been pivotal on that Vikings defense, the linebacker position, stopping a lot of these runs in the second half there at the line of scrimmage. So hopefully giving him an extra second maybe to kind of gain his breath. And
definitely,
now that,
yeah, definitely want to keep him in there in their territory here.
Yeah, and if you go, yep, if here he comes. If you go down for an injury, you got to come out for a play. You know, it's third and long, though. They want Lake in the game, so they're going to they're going to take a timely timeout there and allow him that extra second. Once you take that timeout, you don't need to take a play off.
Yep.
So they're going to bring him in here. It's third and nine on the 39-yard line of the Vikings. Minute and 3 seconds left here at Pete Sussex. 25-14 is the score with Marshfield out ahead. Saisla doing everything they can to keep this thing close.
Yeah, I think it's a great decision. Third and long here. Keep 15 in there. He's been almost on every tackle. He's been one of the numbers in the pile. So
yeah, and still in there stretching it out a little bit, but looks a lot more confident than he did just a minute ago. And you're curious to see if they're going to just run it straight at him right here. They've got Niblett in the backfield. He's going to be throwing it here. Look at deep. He throws it right. And that ball's up in the air. It's just out of the hands. Great coverage by Micah Blankenship there. And Lane Olsen down on the play. It hit his hand, but Blankenship just poked it free as right as it got to his hand. And Lane Olsen's still rolling around. So we're going to go ahead and take a word here from our great sponsors on Coast Radio Sports. And again, big thank you to Cameron Utz there in the studio in Florence at KCST, sitting there operating the audio board tonight, giving us countdowns into each break so Michael and I can stop yamming here in the booth talking to each other. But big play here. Oh, sorry, I thought they were going for it, but the pole was in my way. Punt team there, and Will Johnson deep to return for the Vikes, and punt is away. Pretty decent punt. It's going to land on about the 10-yard line, and it's going to roll into the end zone just barely.
That was 2 yards away from a great corner punt.
As the speedster Hayden Whittycomb was trying to chase it down and down it on the 1 yard line or allow it to roll out of bounds there at the one as well. Real good punt. Just misses it by a hair, but Saisla takes advantage and takes over on their own 20-yard line here. 58 seconds left in the third quarter.
Yep, here we go again.
Yep, just back to it. And we know that Saison can get a good chunk play in a hurry here. So just everybody, all 11 guys do their jobs, and it wouldn't be too surprising here if they broke it for another big one.
Yeah.
Blankenship's going to be under center. He's got Tom Morgan out to his left. Franzoni up, standing upright as the tight end to his right. Lake to his left. Two backs in the backfield. Looks, turns it to Gray. And that's going to be a short gain for Gray there out of the backfield as he ran to the right. That's going to be about a 2-yard pickup. And that was Dylan Gray. Again, 8 and 9 are their numbers. Caleb and Dylan Gray, they're twins, both seniors. So got my work cut, or sorry, juniors. Got my work cut out here. Well, we do. Calling those two back and forth. And Stacey is going to get back on the line here. Blankenship under center. Gold helmet gleaming in the Friday night lights. He's got both tight ends up on each side. Gray and Johnson in the backfield. Looks, turns, hands it right, and instantly goes down the running back. I believe that was Will Johnson there. He's going to get about 2 yards on that carry. He's going to bring up 3rd and 5 for this Vikings team.
Yeah, right side of that line just collapsed.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest here, I don't know if you have to go away from the run here, but that's going to do it here for the third quarter as the horn blares. Scores 25-14. Saison trying to come back here in the fourth quarter. We're going to go ahead and take a minute break and be back after this sponsor from break from our sponsors. The field has flipped here at Pete Sussex Stadium. Vikings offense out on the field on their own 25-yard line, working from our left to right here. Gets the defense to jump offsides, and a flag comes out. And, oh, boy, that's a great way to start this fourth quarter. You go in the huddle. You say, hey, good, you know, they're amped to get this fourth quarter started, hoping to come out here and capture a win. Let's get them jumping offsides, and they did just that. Well, drawn up to perfection, and what do you know, 3rd and 5 all of a sudden turns into.
That is our first cold count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3rd and 5 turns into 3rd and
very,
inches.
Very short.
I mean, it's.
Yeah,
you could pretty much move the chains there if you're the ref, but
yeah,
oh, there they go.
Yep. I was going to say, the guy's standing on the first down.
Yep. Well, a costly mistake there for the Marshfield Pirates defense. The 3rd and 5 on the 25 turns into 1st down on the Saison Vikings 30-yard line. 12 minutes left as the fourth quarter is underway here. Blankenship under center. Brian Johnson in the backfield. Two tight ends up tight. Turns, hands it, met in the backfield.
He's going! He got 10 yards. He's going for 50. The 40 and pushed out of bounds and into a bench.
Throw it.
Oh, and here comes the flag.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit heated there. Jaden Tice pushed him into a bench.
That's going to tack another 15.
The bench and tacked 15 yards on, but you got to give it to Tice. He understood his mistake right away, picked up Blankenship, but you don't want guys getting out here and getting hurt for stupid mistakes like that.
Yeah.
You got to realize the guy's out of bounds and let him up softly.
Let's not skip over the great read that was.
Yeah, I mean, good job. Thanks for bringing me back.
That was a beautiful pull by Blankenship there.
Oh, my
there.
Goodness. Yeah, I was calling it like he had given it up the middle, and I was fooled just as much as the defense, as whoever the running back was, I believe it was Will Johnson, was just gobbled up at the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden, Blankenship just absolutely breaks one free for a good chunk there.
This is going to put him 2 yards out of the red zone here.
Yep. Ball on the Pirates' 22-yard line now as 9 seconds have come off in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes and 51 seconds here. Saison on the 22-yard line on the right hash. Blankenship gets under center. Two backs in the backfield. It looks, turns. That's Johnson out to the outside. On the left side, he breaks a tackle. Just a shoestring tackle as he was about to break one free. And that's still a great gain of about 6 yards there. Make it 5 yards for the Vikings on 1st down, bringing up a 2nd and 5.
Number 8 on Marshfield, Jacob Day with the shoestring tackle.
That saved him there. Blankenship under center. Two tight ends up tight. Looks, turns, gives it right away, and that's Gray up the gut. That's going to be enough for a 1st down,
a
pickup of
run.
About 8-9 yards. And I'm going to say Gray a lot because I'm getting used to which Gray I'm talking about now. Last year it was just Dylan. This year it's going to be both him and Caleb. They've both made great plays tonight, but Dylan up the gut for about 8 yards. That's going to bring Saison down to the 8-yard line.
1st and goal. That was a power run right there. That was good.
Yes, it was. First and goal. Blankenship under center. Two tight ends up tight. And he looks, gives it instantly. That's going to be Gray again.
He pulled it.
Oh, he pulled it. Oh, he pulled it. Touchdown, Vikings. Pull me twice in one drive. Micah Blankenship. Touchdown, Vikings.
Wow, he did it again. He did the same exact thing.
Oh, my goodness. Shame on me as I am fooled twice here again. Just like this, Marshfield Pirates defense in back-to-back, or sorry, just a few plays apart. Micah Blankenship keeps it.
You folks at home, I mean, they didn't just fool Ryan there. The whole team was standing with their hands in the in their pockets as Micah ran into the end zone there. That was a beautiful pull.
I mean, he was 8 yards deep in the end zone by the time I saw the football, the pigskin just chilling in his hands there. And beautiful pull there by Micah Blankenship, and they're going for two here. 25-20, 10:57 left in the fourth quarter. Blankenship under center takes a snap. This time he actually does go in, and he's in for 2 points. He said, let me do this on my own.
Yeah. Oh, we got flags.
And 2 points should still count.
Oh, we got a lot of flags.
Might be some on both sides here.
He threw his hat.
As there were a couple Pirates chasing the Vikings back to their sidelines, and I don't know where it started. Obviously, some finger-pointing and whatnot, but could be some personal fouls on both teams here. But either way, what a beautiful drive out of this Vikings offense.
Yeah, you can't do it better. And I hope everyone at home didn't turn the radio off because we're within 3 points here.
That's you, Caleb Paredes. I saw you texting me in the half after the third fumble or second fumble.
Yeah, we got 10:57 left. It's a 3-point game.
No, all jokes aside, Caleb Paredes, thank you for tuning in tonight. We've got some Vikings faithful here. My wife has been tuning in at home taking care of our 1.5-year-old. And speaking of little ones, Michael.
Yeah. My wife is listening at home, too, taking care of our oldest, 2-year-old, but she is about 39 and a half weeks pregnant. Any day now, I could be having my second son. So
I was almost out a partner here tonight.
I had to pack my hospital bag. They might be calling.
Well, I would hate to miss you here at the 10-minute and 57 mark here at Marshfield High School, but it would be a big reason to leave. And so Michael Mason going to be bringing his second son, or his wife is going to be doing the hard work.
Bringing
his son into the world here. And, you know, we give a big shout out to those people at home. And obviously they're a big part of the reason we're here right now. So thank you for tuning in as well, as well as all the other Viking faithful. So,
man, look at this. Still
here kind of deciphering what took place there in the end zone after the play. All four referees standing on the 15-yard line along the Saints' sidelines here. And Marshfield's on the field ready to take the kickoff. They're marching it off like the 15 yards is against Siuslaw, which kind of a bold move in my opinion.
I'm curious what's going down in that huddle of referees. I don't know if it's big enough personal foul they're talking ejection or what. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what would require so much discussion.
Would hate to see that, obviously. But Marshfield walking this thing off pretty substantially. I mean, they have their first receiver along about the 25-yard line of the Vikings, the front line. All right, let's go ahead and let's do 30-second break while the referees figure this out and get a word from our sponsors here on Coast Radio Sports. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium, where we have a ball game on our hands. 25-22. Marshfield has the lead. Just a second ago, it was 25-8 with the Vikings down in the third quarter. Well, we get here in the fourth quarter. Referees are still figuring things out here, but the deep returner for the Pirates is on the 45-yard line, just about the 50-yard line now. So there must have been two unsportsmanlike penalties called against this baseball team. And you got to realize, hey, we're fighting. We're doing all the right things to get back in this football game. Let's just keep our heads on our shoulders right now.
Yeah, I can't imagine what was said. You watch the end zone. It looked like Micah Blankenship got off the field real quick. I didn't see any hands or anything, so I don't.
Well, good thing about
heard something.
Being friends with Coach Sam Johnson, I'm able to get the full inside scoop, and we'll talk about it, obviously, on the point after next Thursday at 7.05 p.m. on 106.9 Coast Radio Sport, KCST. As Will Johnson set to kick it off here, ball on his own 12-yard line, bounces and booms this one deep. That's going to go get past, just about get past the return man as he is bottled up. Two Vikings run into each other with breaks and frees. And, oh, boy, did they have him dead to rights. And all of a sudden he gets about 10 yards after two Vikings players collide trying to make a tackle on him. And, yeah, those boneheaded mistakes are going to give the Pirates pretty good field position here as they're going to take over on the Vikings 45-yard line.
And it's hard, you know, special teams, I feel like, doesn't get a ton of credit. But, I mean, you fly fast on special teams. It's hard to keep your head on a swivel and really keep your eye on that ball.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous – obviously, it's the most dangerous play in sports, and football especially. That's why you've seen the NFL go away from it. But you know what? They're going to go ahead and march that thing backwards 10 yards for these Pirates. So there must have been a hold on the play. Not really seeing many hand signals out of this referee crew tonight, but –
Oh. Yeah, all things considered, on their 45.
I just recognized who the white hat is for the referee crew. He's baseball alum as well, and he calls it both ways. But let me tell you, he's not going to give any love either direction. Well, nibble it in the backfield. He's going to take it. He's going to look left, throw left. He's got number three out to the left, and that's going to be a good chunk of about – give him 13 on the play.
That's a good thing Caleb Gray, number 8, wrapped him up there.
Yeah, maybe just a miscommunication out in the DBs. Looks like one DB there covering two receivers, but Hayden Woodycomb able to come down with a quick little pass out to the flat and gain about 13 yards on the play.
Yeah, it looked like a deep zone defense, and they utilized that quick slant so well. They've done it a few times tonight.
Yep. Marshfield on the 41-yard line of the Vikings. Nibble it in the backfield. Empty set. Pulls it. Designed run play for him. He's going to go up the middle. He's got a good chunk play. And, oh, my goodness, he's going to gain about 20 yards on that one. And just back-to-back good chunk plays for the Marshfield Pirates. And that was designed the entire time.
Yeah, he instantly pulled and started running.
Yep, and had empty set, three receivers out to his right and two to his left. And I think Faisal just got so caught up in the fact that they thought it was going to be a run. And, boy, did he make them pay with his legs.
Yeah, number 52, Noah Gonzalez with the tackle.
And that was a big tackle. I mean, downfield as a big man this late in the ball game, you know, you're tired, your bones are hurting, your body's cramping, aching. Either way, they got an empty set once again. We got three.
I'd watch for it again here.
Three receivers out to the left. Niblett in the backfield by himself. Stands about 5 yards back in the gun formation. Two receivers out to the right. Awaits the snap. And we've got flags down. Looks like we're going to get a false start on this offensive line for the Pirates. Oh, delay of game.
Delay of game.
That's not one you see frequently, but it did take a minute to develop. We had some hand signals from the left tackle back to the quarterback and a bunch of miscommunications. But either way, Saislaw takes advantage and gets 5 yards back. It's going to be first and 15. Ball spotted on the 25-yard line of these Vikings.
Yeah, they got big Jericho Lake off the end here.
Yep. Three receivers out left, two to the right. Niblett takes the shotgun snap, and it's dropped. Quick throw out left to Lane Olson for about a 5-yard gain, but it's dropped. So second and 15 here. We've got 9 minutes and 22 seconds left in the game. Saislaw is down 25-22, but not out. They have proven that many a times and look to make a defensive stand here on their own 25-yard line.
Yeah, so Saislaw's doing a great job of closing these receivers on the inside, not letting anything go deep. I mean, we've had a few breakout runs, but as far as receivers go, they're not letting them downfield.
Definitely. Empty set again for Niblett. Takes a snap, drops back a few steps, looking right. He's going to take off with his legs and get a good chunk play, and that's going to be a first down for the Pirates as he gains about 18 yards, enough for a first down, and that's going to be first and goal for this Pirates offense.
It's so tough because you send those receivers on streaks like that and you have a quick quarterback. It's really hard to decide as a corner. I mean, I'm sure you know, I was on the line, but it's really hard to decide if you're gonna break down on that or keep covering your man.
Yeah, most definitely. But we do have another Viking down with a cramp along the far sideline. Hard to see who it is, but either way, we're gonna go ahead and take 30 seconds and be back after this word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium, where we have a football game on our hands. And I say that because it's a three-point game right now with Marshfield leading 25-22 here in Coos Bay, Oregon. Still have a Viking down on the field. And Bob, where are you when I need you? I keep looking around, and your binoculars are not here. You're not able to help me find these numbers out when we need them most. But either way, Saipa takes the field, and luckily it's just another cramp.
That's a fourth quarter thing.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, Coastal boys, they're not used to warm, you know, even 65 degrees. Getting late in the game.
It's
players,
a hot one.
Yep, got to eat some bananas and get some water and electrolytes in the system. But we were talking there during the break. You said it's so hard as a DB, you know, and it truly is because it's hammered into you. Don't give up a big play. Don't give up a big play. Do not get beat deep. You do not want to be the defensive back that gives up a touchdown in such a, you know, late in this ball game, down 3 points.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you're with your receiver and the quarterback takes off. Well, do I stay with my receiver and he dumps it over my head like for a touchdown like they did earlier?
Yep.
Or do I come up and make this tackle? And it's a hard decision to make, especially week one, still kind of getting to know the defense here early on the season.
Yeah.
But
that's where, I mean, and from my experience, you know, I played left end edge rusher.
Big boy.
And really, you got to rely on those guys. That's why they're there. They have to contain that flat because if they don't, they force that decision on the corner.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's dang near an impossible one to make because that quarterback has two options and both of them are lethal.
Yeah. And he's still down here. So we're going to go ahead and take quick another 30 seconds here. Oh, wait. Karen, he's up.
He's up. I still can't see. I think it's number 5. Looks like Will Johnson. But that looks too tall to be Will Johnson.
It might be Jericho Lake again.
It is Jericho Lake.
Drink some water there, Jericho. Either way, Marshfield's already set and ready to roll here. 9 minutes and 13 seconds left. 25-22 is the score here in the fourth quarter. They are on the Saipa Vikings 6-yard line, first and goal for this Pirates team. Niblett in the background by himself, sends motion to his right, keeps it up the middle, and he is met at the line of scrimmage, but he keeps driving his legs, and he is in for a touchdown. Touchdown Pirates as the cannon fires off for the first time in a bit, but it comes at a crucial time. 31-22 is the score with 8 minutes and 55 seconds here in the fourth quarter. And
at the right side of that line, it collapsed, and it was all there to get a loss on the down, but that quarterback, he just made a great move and shifted back into the left and went up the gut. It looked like he reached the ball over the line there, and that's pretty dangerous play, but he did it. He made it happen.
Yeah, that he did, and you know, once again, his feet come into play, and he's able to make plays with them, and he just kept his legs driving. He's got some pretty sizable quads on him there, and boy, did they just power him into the end zone. But they're going to be lining up for going for two here. It's going to be Caleb Fox lined up there behind him in the backfield, number 23, the captain, one of the captains of this Pirates team.
Bunch right,
one receiver out to the left. As Niblett goes ahead, takes a snap, and a flag comes out right before. And another delay of game, the second within the red zone here for the Pirates, two on the game, and that's going to drive him back 5 yards. And now it's decision time. Do you go for two here? And, you know, try to go up 10.
Yeah, they're going to go for it.
Yeah, that they are. So they're going to stay out. Offense is going to stay out on the field. Niblett looking to the sideline from the offensive coordinator who's giving it in. Two receivers out to the left, two to the right. Still has Caleb Fox outright in the backfield next to him. And shoots up just a hair. Sends Woody Combe in motion. He's going to chase him out to the right. Drops out to the throw. Looks left. Throw it off. Check man. And he drops the football. But at the end of the day, two-point conversion is unsuccessful for the fourth time tonight for these Pirates. As Jake Mann, I think he just kind of was like a deer in the headlights. Did not expect to be standing there and get the ball thrown into his chest.
And I said it earlier, we hadn't mentioned Jackson Chang there, but there he was again. He rushed the quarter, or he hurried the quarterback. Made him make a decision, and, you know, it was a quick one, and Saipa almost capitalized on it.
Yeah, good time for that cornerback blitz to be called by defensive coordinator Nick Johnson, but it paid off there as, like you said, Jackson Chang just disrupted him enough to make him kind of decide what he was going to do and kind of just throw it to the left out of panic more than anything and straight into the arms of Jacob Mann. the senior D lineman for this Vikings team. But we're going to keep it here. We got 8 minutes and 55 seconds left in this ballgame. Saifa down 9 points with a score of 31-22. Baker back deep, or Baker on the kick. Back deep for the Vikings is going to be Tom Morgan again, as well as Will Johnson off to his right, near side to us. Saifa's offense is going to be working left to right again. As Baker kicks it, he kind of just kicked it right at the front line and just misses, who is at number 50 for this Vikings team, Asher Shervin. And kind of a game of dodgeball right there. If it hit him, that was bouncing right back towards Marshfield for a fumble. So good job getting out of the way.
Yeah, I played that front five on special teams myself, and we were always taught, if that ball comes at you, it's not time to be a hero. You want to dodge that thing.
Yeah. I mean, every big man dreams of getting the football in their hands like Jake Mann just did, and they called the diesel package last year and allowed him to run in for a touchdown, but don't think he expected to be on the receiving end of a football this evening, and kind of deer in the headlights. So like you just said, get out of the way. Don't be a hero here.
Yeah, nothing special when you're down.
Amen to that. So we're going to take over. Saifa takes over on the 41-yard line. In their own territory, we got two backs in the backfield, two tight ends in tight, one receiver in Tom Morgan out to the right. Blankenship takes the snap. He's going to hand it. No, he keeps it.
No, he handed it.
Oh, this pull right in our way. Comes into play again. Yeah. And either way, Saifa gets about 6 yards on first and 10, bringing up second and four on the four hash mark.
Dylan Gray there.
Perfect. Thank you. 8 minutes and 30 seconds and counting in this fourth quarter. Blankenship is going to be under center. Looks, Perrins hands it.
Same play.
Again, up the gut, and that's Gray. And I think the ball might have come out. Marshfield saying that they got it, and the referee agrees. That's going to be another turnover and a costly one at that for this Vikings offense.
Yeah, it's
5 total turnovers tonight.
And tough.
To turn the ball over 5 times in a game with and only be down 9 points, I mean, that's tough in itself. They're fighting, but just keep making mental errors and putting the ball on the ground, and you know this coaching staff is not going to be thrilled about that.
Yeah, Marshfield's going to get conservative here. I think Saifa's got to do the opposite. They got to get aggressive. We need a turnover.
Yeah, you would think they would have a back in the backfield, but Niblett is going to have an empty set, tripped out to his left, 2 receivers to his right. He's going to be dropping back. Nope, designed draw play out of him. And really good job out of Jake Rose there to get a hand on him in the backfield and limit him to a nice short 1.5 yard, 2 yard gain. So it's going to be 2nd and 8 here on the Saifa 49. Again, costly mistakes are the story of the game tonight for this Vikings offense. 5 total turnovers, couple of those on down, 3 on the ground.
I'd say anytime they see this empty set, they can bet on Niblett running the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to put the ball in harm's way by any means and allow Saifa to get an interception here, but Niblett trips to his left end, motion to his right. He's going to give a jet sweep out to the right, and that's going to be Lane Olsen making people miss, and he is gone. 20, 10, touchdown, Pirates. And just missed tackles there on the right sideline, far sideline for this Vikings team, and that's going to be the cannon once again, and that's going to make the score 37-22 with 7 minutes and 36 seconds left, and that's the third time that those turnovers have turned into points right away. That's total of, I mean, I would say 21 points, but they haven't been successful on those 2-point conversions, but still 18 points right off turnovers for this Pirates team, and what do you know? They're up 15.
Yeah.
So it's been the story of the game. They've got Mallory Ed, the senior kicker, back on to kick the point after here. And Will Johnson got a little bit jumpy there and was about 5 yards into the backfield before the flag even left the ref's pocket. So trying to obviously make something happen here and a spark play for this team and get a block here. But
yeah, I don't blame him here. I mean, you need all you can get.
And they're going to send him off. Probably one of those chats between brother and head coach with Sam Johnson talking to Will Johnson there on the Saifa sideline. But Mallory Ed's going to stay in here. They're going to go ahead and go for the 2-point here as she walks off her steps here, stretches out a little bit, settles in. Snap, hold, good. And the ball is through the uprights. That's going to be 2 for 2 for Mallory Ed tonight, and it's going to bring the score to 38-22 with 7 minutes and 36 seconds left. And game's not over.
It's not. It's not.
You've got to stop these mistakes. But we're going to go ahead and take 30 seconds from our sponsors and be back after that here on Coast Radio Sports. Welcome back to Pete Sussex Stadium here in Coos Bay, Oregon. Friday night lights are back. However, the Stanislaus Vikings have their back against the wall here with a score of 38-22 down to these Marshfield Pirates as Baker's on to kick it for these Pirates. And a little bit of a different formation with Will Johnson and Tom Morgan back deep to return. That's going to be Will Johnson scooping it up off the ground. He's going to get a decent return here, still churning his legs, and he got about 10 yards on that return before he's brought down on that Siusla. Let's mark it at the 34-yard line. Maybe a little extracurriculars a little bit there after the play. Some temper starting to flare a little bit, and we kept saying five turnovers, but it's been six for this offense. And it's hard to win a football game like that. Four of them have been fumbles, two turnovers on downs. But, I mean, the fact that you're still only down, I mean, I guess now it's 16 points. It's a two-possession game if you get both of those two-point conversions.
It's like we're getting quite a bit more yards here.
And, yeah, those extracurriculars will lead to some added yards tacked on.
And this is a tough spot to be from a player standpoint. I'm sure you understand. If you're down, you know you need to play perfect. Your frustration's flying. You're tired. The name of the game here is to stay cool-headed and just do your job.
Yeah, and we've seen them. I mean, we've seen them bounce back from turnovers earlier in the game. But time to make it happen here once again. It's going to be Blankenship out of the shotgun this time. Gray off to his left. Two receivers out to his left and right. He's going to drop back, looking to throw it. He's going to air it, and it's going to be towards the flat, incomplete. Sorry for the mishaps here. I can't really see too well. We got a pole right in front of us, and it's limiting the visibility. But
that was a dump pass to Tom Morgan, 19.
Perfect. Michael's got a little bit better with you.
I got the left side of the pole here.
I am dead center on this pole, but throwing it to the flat to Tom Morgan, just unable to connect with Blankenship there. It's going to bring up 2nd and 10 on the 45 here. Again, 7 minutes and 20 seconds left in this football game. And Blankenship's working under center again. He's got Franzoni and Lake as the tight end standing up tight. And Gray and Johnson in the backfield. Tom Morgan to the near sideline out wide here. He's going to go ahead, take a snap, hand it up the gut. No, he pulls it. And he's going to get about 6 yards on that first down. And Marshfield's pointing like they got the football again. And the refs in there to settle things out. And it's going to stay Vikings football. And, oh, my goodness, at this point, whenever the Pirates start pointing fingers like they recovered a fumble, it's hard not to believe.
Yeah, with the way things have gone.
Yeah, most definitely. But 3rd and 5 here, right on the 50-yard line. AstroTurf here at Pete Sussex Stadium. Blankenship under center. Two tight ends up tight. Two backs in the backfield. Tom Morgan's running in motion right to left. He's going to take the end around and met right at the line of scrimmage. And he gets about 1 yard here. Looked like the football was on the ground there for a second. But
I think he dove a few yards further than that.
Oh, he was met right at the 50 and was able to churn out about 3 more yards.
We got a 4th and 3 here.
Oof. 2.5 here. And almost feels like 4th and game at this point.
Yeah, I'd be curious if they cold count.
It worked earlier, first play of the 4th quarter for them. Blankenship under center. And he's going to go ahead and take the snap, hand it off to Will Johnson. Will Johnson to the left, and he's got enough for a Vikings first down with about a pickup of 5 there on 4th and 2. And
Jake Mann with a key block there, I saw.
Going to go ahead and move the chains as number 57, Jameson Batdorf, comes off again. He's one of those key players that Sam Johnson mentioned on the point after grimacing a little bit. Blankenship under center and left. That's going to be Gray.
Ball's out.
And the ball's out. And the referee's going to go ahead and say that he was down. It looked like he was pointing like the possession was the Pirates, but
Dylan Gray.
Some ball security issues for the Vikings throughout the night have persisted and costed this Vikings team significantly. But we got a second and five here on about the 42-yard line. Blankenship takes a snap. He's going to keep it himself, and he's going to be wrapped up right away. About a one-yard pickup, if anything. And I just think that even if the read is there for him to hand it, he's starting to maybe just want to take things into his own hands with the ball security issues that have happened tonight on the Vikings side.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him.
As junior and big man Folau comes out of the game with his helmet off. And Blankenship's going to hand it off, and in the backfield is Will Johnson. Loss of one. And again, fourth down brought up for this Vikings team, and they're going to go ahead and take a timeout. So we're going to go ahead and do the same and take 30 seconds here from our sponsors. Welcome back here to Coos Bay, Oregon. Saizglad down with their backs against the walls with a score of 38-22 with 4 minutes and 43 seconds left on the clock and a fourth and five that they're facing here on offense with the ball on the 38-yard line in Pirate territory. And Mike, what would you call here if you're looking at fourth and five, if you're Andy Johnson and Sam Johnson calling plays?
Well, these last three downs, they've ran it right up the middle. It hasn't worked. The defensive line is crashing down hard. I don't know if you try and catch them on their heels and throw something deep, maybe throw something out to the wide side of the field and let one of the players do some footwork and just get that first down. But, I mean, we're really hoping for more here.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm going to go ahead and call a belly pass here, fake the handoff, and try to hit like a Bryce Branzoni. But Blankenship under center, same formation, except this time instead of Jericho Lake as the tight end, it's going to be Jackson Chang on the near side. Two backs in the backfield. Blankenship under center takes the snap, and he's going to just hand it right up the gut. Fourth and five. And nothing there. I mean, that hasn't been there the last three plays, and Saizglad goes back to it. So it's going to be the Pirates taking over with the third turnover on downs of the night, and that just feels like it's going to be the ball game there.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, the other side of the coin is you go right back to it because they think something else could happen. But, yeah, that's a tough play.
Yeah, Marshfield defense holds strong here late in the fourth quarter as Saizglad was really starting to pick up some steam there in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, but Marshfield has the lead here, 38-22 with 4 minutes and 38 seconds left in the game. And Saizglad, I believe, has one timeout here in their back pocket. So Marshfield looking to probably just keep things pretty conservative and the ball on the ground. And as I say that, they're going to air it out. That's going to be number three here, Hayden Whittycomb, and he's breaking things free. And big chunk play, gain of about 17. And that's going to be one of those costly mistakes of just letting the tempers and emotions get to you as one of the Vikings has some after-the-whistle kind of chippiness there.
Yeah, we're frustrated out there.
And Hayden Whittycomb bent over, hands on knees. Looks like he's got some blood pouring out of his nose after his helmet was kind of ripped off. I looked away just in time. Did you get eyes on it?
Yeah, it looked like he had the hold of the face mask and pulled his helmet off of him.
Yeah, can't have that.
I don't know if his hand got stuck. I mean,
cannot have that, yeah.
The frustration's flying. I mean, I get it. But you got to keep your head cool.
Yep, and Marshfield here, asking the crowd to turn up the volume a little bit as Niblett is going to be working out of the gun once again. This time, however, not an empty set. Two receivers out to his left and two to his right. And they're going to be marching off the 15 yards here after that unsportsmanlike conduct after the whistle on that last play with Hayden Whittycomb's big pickup through the air. And it's going to be Jaden Tice in the game back to his left of the left of Niblett. And it's going to be a design draw play again. He's got Franzoni with a one-on-one. Franzoni kind of forces him back inside where he's got some help and no one there to help. Five missed tackles, six missed tackles, and wrapped up and brought down finally by Big Jacob Mann. And it's just, I mean, this is looking like the Vikings are just kind of rolling over a little bit here down the stretch and after that fourth down turnover.
Yeah.
Tempers flaring a little bit, not after that play, but in general. Obviously, you worked so hard after that last whistle against the North Valley Knights last playoffs at home, where you lose that one, the second matchup of the year, and you work all off season for this night to kind of not go the way you hoped it to.
Yeah, I mean, it boils down to ball control, keep ball security, I should say. It's a few costly plays.
Yeah, and you know, you're feel like you're taking three steps forward just to go backwards with those fumbles. Going to be nibbling out of the gun here again. Trips to the right, and he's going to take it himself again up the middle, making people miss left and right. And again, Jacob Mann making him pay up the middle. Also in on that tackle is going to be, I believe, Bryce Branzoni. Yes, Bryce Branzoni.
Yep.
Off the edge there. So
give it to a few of the Vikings on those tackles. I mean, I can still see them ripping for the ball. They're still trying to get that ball back. It's just, it's tough. This is a good quarterback. He's in an empty set.
Yep.
Just trying to run that clock down.
Saisal working in a couple of the underclassmen, younger guys that Coach Sam Johnson has talked about on the point after, working their tails off all offseason. In at cornerback, we have Rowdy Thrall, as well as Pat Sneddon in the game. Sure, a couple more will come in here down the stretch, but Niblett's going to take this shotgun snap. He's going to throw it out to the flat to Jaden Tice, and wrapped up right there is Tice, Blankenship, and a handful of other Vikings in on that tackle. Almost, you know, if you're going to start putting people in here, you might think about taking out Blankenship and just not even risking anything down the stretch here. But number 27 in on that tackle with a handful of others, that's Nick Sprague, the sophomore, standing at 5'8", 155, listed as a running back and a linebacker. And I think it's smart for Coach Sam Johnson to get some of those starters off the field who are starting to kind of feel tempers arise a little bit.
Yeah. You know, the leaders on the field, I mean, from a player standpoint, again, you feel like you're letting your team down, although it's a complete team effort, but I totally get the feeling. I mean, that late game frustration where you just feel like you can't get nothing right.
Yep. And we got a timeout, Marshfield, with 1:29 left in the game, and we're going to go ahead and take one ourselves. We'll be back here in 30 seconds on Coast Radio Sports. And we are back in Coos Bay, Oregon, and kind of just talking between the breaks. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that it's hard to keep your head level. You know, you're down two scores right now, fumbled it, turned it over six times total. Things have just not bounced Saisal's way tonight. And a lot of those are self-inflicted errors and mistakes with those unsportsmanlike conducts and obviously the ball security being an issue throughout the night. But it's hard to stay even keeled throughout tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot they can take away tonight to learn from, that's for sure.
Most definitely. But starters still in for this Marshfield Pirates team. 1 minute and 29 seconds left. Trying to add some points on here, it looks like. Niblett in the backfield with Tice to his left. Takes the snap, rolls right. He's going to be throwing it here. Nope, keeps it himself. And off he goes down the sidelines, and that's going to be a big chunk play of about 15 yards for Enoch Niblett here down the far sideline of Saisal. And, you know, to each their own, if you want to be throwing it with a minute and 20 seconds left in the game, up two scores. But at the same time, Saisal has kind of been a little bit chippy after the whistle, and I'd probably be trying to add some insult to injury a little bit too if I'm the Pirates, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, you're still seeing a lot of speed out of these Viking players, and, you know, the second team's coming in. This is time for them to maybe prove something and show some heart. You're still seeing good tackling. It's just, it's a little bit slower out there.
Most definitely, but Blankenship's still in the game, working, looks like, out of the safety position right now, kind of directing some of these lower classmen. We have Will Johnson back in the game as well. But for the most part, quite a few underclassmen in there, sophomores and potentially a freshman or two in there for this Viking squad. We've got a couple seniors still in there, 27 working in the game for the Vikings. Nick Sprague mentioned his name a second ago, Rowdy Thrall. He's been a name that Sam's talked about, not just this season on the point after, but last season, as someone who's just out there every single day working his tail off, putting in a lot of hard-earned hours to help the team around him get better. So those sort of things pay off, you know, and obviously Saisal is down right now, but go out there and work your tail off and you'll get some minutes in on Friday night as a sophomore.
Yeah, well, I mean, what would you say you're taking back to practice on Monday?
Well, we'll get a little bit into that into the post-game show, but more than anything, just we got to work on the little things, guys. You know, we can't get out ahead of ourselves. Yes, we have an incredible roster with a great group of seniors here, but, you know, let's just settle things down a little bit, work back to the fundamentals of ball security, breaking down and tackling, those few things that just boil down to be such big factors in each and every football game.
Yep.
It's going to be Niblett under the gun this time, two backs directly behind him in an I formation, one in a three-point stance. That's going to be Tice. He calls for motion. He's going to end around, and it's fumbled, but this time it just goes right into the hands of the ball carrier. That's going to be Lane Olson, and that's a touchdown for these Pirates as the cannon fires off for hopefully one final time this Friday night on this season opener for the Vikings. And that's going to be score of 44-22 with 44 seconds left here in the fourth quarter. And obviously not the turnout this Vikings team was looking for, but again, you live and you learn. You know, it's not the end of the world. Coach Sam Johnson talks about it so much, just going out and having fun. And, you know, if we win a football game, we win a football game. But that's not what we're here to do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We're here to be good young men and, just try to play a good, clean football game. And that slipped a little bit tonight. But getting back to those roots is really what's going to be important for this Vikings team.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good takeaway is, there were some flags, but as far as, the small flags, it wasn't too much of that tonight.
Not many false starts. There was one on the first play of the drive. Don't think there's been one since. Just a lot of, lapses of judgment, lapses of judgment for the Vikings team tonight. But
this is interesting. Lining up for a field goal.
And that's going to be – the PAT is going to be – attempted here once again by number 13, Mallory Ed. And that one is up and good with plenty of room and plenty of distance to go. And that's going to be 45-22 here. And boy, did this thing turn quick. It was a 3-point ball game just minutes ago. And all of a sudden, now we're looking at a 23-point ball game. So tides have changed. You know, the Vikings are on the wrong side of things there. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick 30 seconds and be back and kind of watch this clock tick down and then do a post-game show after that. So stay with us here on Coast Radio Sports. And Baker back, kicked it off. That's going to be Tom Morgan catching it on the bounce. He's going to be going up the middle. Pretty good return there as the lights shut out here at Pete Sussex Stadium. Gets pretty dark here in
Booth. they shut us off.
Another name to throw out there that Sam has talked about so many times on the point after is Coleman Weedman, a sophomore for this Viking squad, and just another kid that he's mentioned has such heart, such grit, and such character on that practice squad and on that JV team for the Vikings. But a few more players working in for the Pirates as well. 40 seconds left here in the game. Scoreboard showing our house across it here with the kind of small Jumbotron.
The Minitron.
Yeah, the Minitron is one way to word it here, but a Tron nonetheless.
Yeah.
40 seconds left, 45-22 is the score, and Saifar is just going to go ahead and take the knee and watch the clock tick out. And that's going to do it here at Pete Sussex Stadium as Saifar falls to these Marshfield Pirates, a good Marshfield Pirates team at 45-22. And we're just going to keep it here. We'll get right into the post-game show as Saifar and Marshfield kind of line up here to, stay out of way. And well, what were your takeaways there, Michael?
I think with the bad, I think there's still a lot of good. I think we saw a great amount of good out of Will Johnson and Blankenship and a lot of the guys on the outside. The offensive line, I mean, I was watching primarily all night. That's what I played. I think they played well. I think they played hard on both sides of the ball. Unfortunately, on the defensive side, the Marshfield quarterback on those gun plays was able to get the outside. But as far as on the inside goes, I think a good takeaway would be both sides of the line here. The gaps were there for the running backs. And I mean, not to beat a dead horse here, but it was the fumble. Good runs, just the ball security wasn't there on some of these plays. And like we keep saying, I think there's a lot to take back to the practice field on Monday, and it's week one.
Yeah.
This stuff happens.
Yeah, a lot of football to be played as some of these Pirates kind of taunt the Vikings as they make their way to their end zone here to talk things over. But I agree with you. I don't think you'd go back to the drawing board if you're the Vikings here. You saw plenty of good things to build off of. O-line was able to get a good push up front.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are, if you're an opponent watching this film after this football game, about to play this Utah football team, your point of emphasis is punching the ball free.
Yeah.
After six turnovers, that's what I'm aiming for. And if you're the Utah team, it's not back to the drawing boards. It's, hey, let's go work on the fundamentals of ball security.
Yeah. A lot of ball security drills.
Yeah. And just working on, how to face adversity a little bit. And obviously that's hard to do in practice, but you can talk about it and you can talk about, hey, you were feeling this. Let's change what we do and do this instead.
Yeah.
Or let me know when you're getting to that point. We'll sub you out for a play and let's cool down a little bit before it's 15 yards here, 15 yards there. And that adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think Saislaw gave away close to 90 yards in unsportsmanlike penalties today. And obviously not ideal. But
not only the teammates and the players having each other's back, but you look at the coaching staff, you look at the Florence and Faisal community, they're going to rally behind these guys. I mean, and they're going to flush this loss and they're going to learn a lot from it. And, I mean, if I know anything about Sam and this team, they're going to come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, most definitely. And I know a lot of that's going to be fueled by just this moment right now, sitting in a circle, looking at your brothers in a circle in the eyes and Marshfield's here playing. We are the champions of the world after going 2-0 to start this season. Maybe a little bit preemptive, but you got to set your eyes on the prize, I guess. But that's going to hurt for this Vikings team. You just got fired up, came down, traveled the hour down here to compete. And the door was shut on you there, a few times. And you fought back, and then all of a sudden it slammed in your face in the last few minutes.
You're going into someone else's house. You expect a little bit of a salt in the wound, if you will.
Yeah, most definitely. But we're going to go ahead and wrap things up for the Vikings. That's going to be it here with the score of 45-22 as they just wipe the score off the scoreboard and have a blank slate set for next week. But we'll be back on Thursday evening at 106.9 KCST with the Point After with head coach Sam Johnson. We're going to break down this game with him, talk about kind of the things that they saw, the things that they worked on this week at practice, and what we can expect in next week's matchup. So we thank you for tuning in with us here on Coast Radio Sports. And for Michael and I, thanks again.
Yep, thank you.